coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Dynasty Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Dylan, along with Coach Nick. Finally got Coach Nick back on the podcast. It's been a couple weeks, so. How you been, man?
Been all right, bud. Just living that travel life, been moving around. Sorry, couldn't get on the show, but now we're finally finding some routines, finding some stability, so it's good to be back.
Heck yeah, it's good to have you back, man. We were missing Charlie this week, but he just had a work thing, so he should be back next week for sure. But we got the NFL season kicking off here in a couple days. I think it starts on the 11th, I think.
Yeah. The Thursday after.
Okay. You excited?
Of course I am. I'm freaking annoyed, right? So they do the one thing we've been asking them to do, which is get rid of some of the preseason games. And then what do? They make us wait the whole freaking 4 weeks anyways. Like, what the hell? Start the season and be done with it.
I agree. It's time. It's been long enough. Let's get some football. So we got a good show for you guys today. We are going to discuss some news notes around the NFL, and then we're going to talk tight ends. We've done quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. So it's time for the tight end section here. So without further ado, let's get into some news and notes. Yeah. All right. First news item here, Jimmy Garoppolo signs the extension with the 49ers. It's a one-year deal, but he's, I believe, the highest-paid backup quarterback in the NFL right now. $6.5 million guaranteed, and then if he hits his incentives, he gets $16 million. What does this mean? I mean, first of all, it's not very smart, I don't think, on Jimmy Garoppolo's side of things, because I think he could have probably went somewhere and started. But also, could this mean that the 49ers aren't all that happy with the development of Trey Lance?
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's definitely concerning, I think, for Lance owners, because I don't know if this is kind of just a backup plan if Lance gets hurt or Lance doesn't pan out, but I'd like to see more confidence in Lance being the starter there, at least out of the coaching staff.
Who was available, right? Because you can look at it that way as a confidence issue, or you can look at it as you have a young quarterback who's used to using his legs. And I mean, look at RG3, for example, right? You have a young guy who doesn't know about going out, doesn't know about going down and running out of bounds. If he gets injured, you still have a team around you who can go for the ultimate prize, right? So you're going to need a quarterback capable of backing to a level and getting them too, right? And let's all just be honest, like the chances of somebody coming in and pulling a Nick Foles is slim. Right. So who do you want? Do you want some fucking Chase Daniels? No, you don't want that dude backing you up trying to go after Super Bowl. Right. Do you want Trevor Siemian? No, you don't want that dude backing you up going for Super Bowl. Yeah. Jimmy G standing right there in front of you. No one else has reached out to sign him. Man, work it.
Yeah, I get that. I guess from a 49ers standpoint, it's smart on their part. May not show that they're not confident, I guess, in Lance. But Jimmy G, man, I think he probably could have. I mean, there's Cleveland talks in the news because of Deshaun Watson being suspended. I think he probably could have started there over Jacoby Brissett for sure. So
Well, and who knows? Maybe he could have gotten a better chance, even if it was in a backup position, say for a team, I don't know, the Saints.
Yeah.
Right? They needed a back. Jameis is not the answer, not long-term anyway. So maybe you go there and take another chance at proving that you could be the long-term solution for a team. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. If I were him, I think I would have, if no team was going after me right now, I would have waited until that first quarterback injury. And then you're the number one free agent on the market right now. So,
oh, yeah. But he wasn't confident enough to bet on himself, or that, or he had a really bad agent. His agent told him not to bet on himself. Yeah. But I'm with you. I think I would have took the chance, bet myself, hung out in free agency for a little bit, posted some workout videos or something, and gambled a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go ahead and move on to the next news article here. Laviska Shenault traded to Carolina. They were looking for some playmakers. They got one finally. First off, does this help the Panthers? Do you think it's going to hurt any of the receivers there? Moore, Anderson, Terrace Marshall? Who do you think takes the hit?
Everybody not named Moore takes the hit. All right, so I think DJ Moore is going to be your number one. Clearly, we've talked about that. We've touted him. We all know what we think of DJ Moore. So Laviska Shenault is going to slot in somewhere between him and Anderson, and I think – probably two games in after he gets the playbook and gets the comfortability down, he's gonna you know, take the seat from Anderson for number two.
I agree. I think it's a great trade for the Panthers. Shenault was a he was a second round pick. So I think that being in Jacksonville definitely kind of hindered him. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say Baker Mayfield is better for him than Trevor Lawrence, because I don't really believe that. I think that the Carolina system is better for Laviska Shenault. But I don't know, man. What do you feel about Baker? Did it affect his value at all for him?
So I think it helps Baker for sure. It helps any quarterback that's going to be in that situation. But I don't know, man. Baker's on a whole different tangent this year. I think he's going to go out and he's probably going to have the best year of his career, in my opinion. I think he's going to go out and absolutely smash everything and every expectation. And we're going to be talking about him for possibly either comeback of the year or maybe even MVP. I think he's going to absolutely wreck this season just to prove that he can. And then he's going to go back to being the lazy player that he is. So, I don't know. Unfortunately, Baker's one of those guys that's kind of motivated by adversity. And then as soon as that adversity is gone, he has zero motivation to do anything. So it's difficult.
Yeah, he's definitely be playing with a chip on his shoulder. Wants to show the Browns that they messed up by not trusting him.
Yeah. Each other this year, Carolina and the Browns? I mean, is this going to be like a Russell Wilson in Seattle type thing where a quarterback gets traded and then opens with their opposing team?
Yeah. They open with the Panthers.
Do they really?
September 11th, open with the Panthers.
Holy crap, I called that. That's
yeah. That's gonna be an interesting game.
I'll be
watching that.
It's gonna be I don't know. It's not quite like your guys' predicament, right? So yeah. Like for the Broncos in Seattle, you guys literally swapped quarterbacks, and the quarterbacks that you swapped are now the starting quarterbacks, obviously in your guys' case, yeah. And obviously in Seattle's case. But now you have the people that you swapped are literally starting for each other. So, man, watch Drew Lock go out there and get a W on you guys. I will never let your whole Broncos nation forget it. Bet.
Except for they announced Geno is the starter, not Lock. Yeah, Geno's going to be starting.
Oh,
so
that's sad.
It makes sure that you don't get to talk shit about my Broncos anymore, so.
Man, it's just going to have to happen like 5 years from now when you guys start.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on here, last news injury. We found out Najee had a Lisfranc injury earlier in training camp. Lisfrancs are usually pretty significant. They're not like ACLs or torn Achilles or anything, but they usually are pretty significant the year that it happens. Are you worried about Najee at all this year, or
is this I mean, you'd be dumb not to be worried, especially in an offense that drafted a rookie quarterback this year and doesn't really have that proven vet to step in and be a. You were relying heavily on Najee to get things done in the offense, and now with this Lisfranc, even if it doesn't sideline him, you know what I mean? It's still going to make you question his playability, right? It's going to make you wonder when he starts playing a lot of teams like, I don't know, the Tampa teams or the Saints teams or the other teams that are really, really good up front at stuffing the run are going to make him have to earn those runs, whether or not that's going to become a problem for him. I don't know, because he was going to be the workhorse. I mean, he was going to be the Jonathan Taylor of the Pittsburgh offense, right? He was going to be that one sole dude that was going to get the ball 60 times in a game. That's a little dramatic, but you understand my reference. He was going to be that bell cow, just like he was last year. It makes you hesitate. It makes you wonder. And when he starts mysteriously missing practices, you're really going to start wondering what in the hell is going on. Hell yeah, it makes me nervous.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns about the Pittsburgh offense right now and Najee's situation. I want to say if you're a contender, sell him, but you're kind of selling low at this point because, I mean, that this news, you're not going to get a ton of draft capital back or anything like that. So,
I think if you look at it from that perspective, wait like 2-3 games. Let him get 2 or 3 good games in, because chances are, if this is an injury that is going to sideline him, it's not going to happen in the first game, right? Yeah. Let him get 2 or 3 good games in, then you go and sell him. If you're really that worried and you're convinced to the point that you are like, no, I'm getting rid of Najee, give it 2 or 3 games. Let him get some points under his belt, and then you can go and sell it in the fashion of, hey, look, yes, there might be this thing, but it ain't slowing them down. And you could sell it to somebody who's on that cusp and wanting to compete, and maybe you get someone to bite on it.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Like I said, right now you're probably selling him for not what he's worth.
Not at all.
This news, so
yeah, I'd wait. Right now, like anybody who's listening to this and wants to try to sell off Najee because of this news, I'm telling you, take my advice, wait 2-3 games. If it bites you in the backside, it bites you in the backside. You weren't going to get what he was worth anyways. Yeah. And if he has 3 good games and you're able to sell him for what he's worth, you'll thank me later.
I agree. So there's some other items. I know the Brian Robinson.
Bro.
Him being shot. Wish him the best. The other coaches covered it pretty good, so –
Yeah, I mean, he my new favorite running back, right? Like, I love the dude just on principle.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully he makes a speedy recovery and can get his first NFL game.
You know what I love, though? I'm just going to throw this out there, just because the Commanders have caught so much freaking heat, and rightfully so, over the last few years. Mm-hmm. But, man, they kept him on the roster. They could have cut him.
They did him right, so – Hopefully, I know the timetable was he could get back hopefully this year, but it's such a crazy injury that nobody really knows the timetable for recovery. So,
yeah.
But just wish him the best, and hopefully he gets back soon. So that will do it for the news and notes. Let's go ahead and get right into the tight end portion. We'll start with the AFC East, Bills and Dolphins. You got Dawson Knox with the Bills. Finished as a tight end 11 last year. He had quite a bit of targets, 71 targets. Do you think he's going to get to that point this year because you're going to have Gabe Davis, who offseason darling, is going to probably see a lot more. They Khalil Shakir's looking decent. They added Jamison Crowder. Running game should be better. What do you think?
Dawson Knox is kind of one of those dudes that I picked up off the waiver wire as well, he can't be worse than who I replaced him with. And then he's really kind of flourished for me. So I really like what Dawson Knox is doing. Do I think he replicates his numbers? I don't. Do I think he's going to get any worse than what he's done? I don't. So if you're looking for a dude to kind of fill in, or if you're really freaking hurting it at tight end and need to go get a guy, I think Dawson Knox is a good dude to keep on your roster. He's consistent. I think he's going to continue to be consistent, but don't expect him to be, you know, anybody that you're going to absolutely win a league with.
Yeah, he's in that category of, you know, guys that have a lot of upside, I think, especially in the Bills offense. But yeah. It helps, too. The Bills released O.J. Howard. So he was the main competition for Dawson Knox. And, I mean, O.J. Howard has been decent at times in the NFL. So with them releasing Howard, it's definitely Knox is the number one tight end now. And I think with a quarterback like Josh Allen, I mean, I'll take the chance on him any day of the week. So especially in the red zone, I mean, he had 9 touchdowns. Really good for a tight end. So
What's the tallest receiver on the Bills team? Do you know?
Might be Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is 6'2". Stephon Diggs is 6 foot. Let's do one more here. Khalil Shakir, 6 foot. Yeah, so Gabe Davis is 6'2", tallest one.
And what's Knox standing at?
6'4". So
there's your red zone target right there. He's the only.
I agree. And tight end or touchdowns are such an important stat for tight ends. Mm-hmm. So I think I would take a chance on him.
If you're teetering that right there, that statistic alone should give you the confidence to go ahead and pick that man up, because he's literally the only target besides the brand new dude. Yeah. You know, and with a young quarterback, it matters to have that kind of security blanket when it comes down to that trust and faith in the red zone. And Dawson Knox clearly has it. So
I agree. Let's move on to Mike Gesicki here. Finished his tight end 9 in PPR, but he received 112 targets. That's not going to happen this year. That is not going to happen this year with the addition of Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson, and Chase Edmonds. What do you think?
You talked about it earlier. If there was a guy that I had on my roster that I was going to try to sell high, it's going to be Gesicki, mm-hmm. right? I am trying to sell that man right now for everything he is worth, because he is not going to repeat the seasons that he's had in the past. Gesicki is going to become like the ghost of Christmas past. I do not that he is going to have nearly this targets. Like, I would be comfortable telling you that he is looking at maybe 50 targets this year, maybe 50 in that neighborhood between 50 and, I just don't see it, right? Because where do tight ends get their love? Within that, like, 30 yard range, 20 to 30 yards is where they get all their love of that red zone, right? With a burner like Waddell, burner like Hill, you're not going to see that 20-yard line so much. They're going to bomb them. They're going to score all the touchdowns, and you're going to be seeing touchdowns scored from the 50, 40, and beyond. You're not going to see that red zone very much. And I just don't think Gesicki is going to get that love anymore. So if there was a guy I was trying to sell high, it's going to be Gesicki.
I agree 100% with everything you just said. 112 targets is not going to be reachable, and I think that it could be, like you said, a huge fall off in targets to 50. I mean, losing 62 targets, that's going to be killing him, and I think 50 is a stretch, I think. So, really? I think so. I think that the check down type tight end role is, I mean, I think Chase Edmonds is going to have the check down type role there, and I mean, he's been a very good pass catching running back, and he's, I mean, quicker, more agile, better in space. So I think it probably goes to him.
Who else is on their roster for tight ends, the Dolphins, do we know?
Hunter Long, that was my next question here. Hunter Long, he was a rookie last year. They were really high on him. Do you think
he's getting traded?
I kind of hope he would, because I actually like the talent of Gesicki, but
yeah, I if the Dolphins were going to do right by Gesicki, they would trade him, right? Yeah. And if realistically, if he was betting on himself, he would demand a trade, because he's not going to get anything in there. And they got this rookie dude behind him who they can bring up and have pass block, because that's all you're going to do in that offense now. You're going to freaking pass block, and Tyreek Hill is going to run over the top of everybody, and that's going to be the show. Right? So if they were going to do right by him, they would trade him.
I agree. I hope that they do, because I, like I said, I like the talent of Mike Gesicki, but it's hard to love his situation right now. So I hope that they trade him.
Brown, Wap and Joku. Gesicki and Njoku, swap the two of them.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be nice. Moving along here, Patriots and Jets. We'll start with Patriots. Hunter Henry, another guy. He finished top 10, tight end 10 PPR. 9 touchdowns. He's Mac Jones' go-to guy in the red zone. Are you taking a chance on Hunter Henry? Is he in that Dawson Knox range for it?
Did the Patriots go out and fix their wide receivers this season? I can't remember. Did they?
Just Devontae Parker. That's all they Devontae Parker, and then they drafted Tyquan Thornton.
Tyquan
Thornton. Yeah.
So you've got a second-year quarterback, you got the vet, and you got the rookie, and then you got your security blanket, Hunter Henry, who's been there. This is, what, his third or fourth year with the team now?
This is second year.
In year, really?
Last year was his first year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I like him. I like Hunter Henry in this scenario then, because you're not going to have the confidence with the rookie, right? That's going to take time. Mac Jones is great, but he's not amazing, so he's going to have to settle in with players. He's not going to pick it up like a Peyton Manning. He also would automatically identify the strengths and weaknesses and pick up on that type of stuff, so he's going to rely on Hunter Henry. So I like Hunter Henry in this position. I like where he's at with the team. I like what the outlook looks like for him this season. And I would say either buy or hold on to him if you got him already.
I agree. I think, like I said, man, the touchdowns are so big for tight ends. And it's touchdowns, and you're looking at players that have – the chance of being the number one or number two option on the team. Right now, Hunter Henry has a chance of being the number one target on the team. I don't care about any of the receivers. I mean, Hunter Henry has a chance of being that number one target on the team, at least number two. So,
yeah,
scored nine touchdowns last year. It's big. So,
and Ramondre Stevenson, he's not a pass catching running back, right? He's a downhill runner.
He's not. He did decent in college. They're probably gonna give it to him because James White retired. So you have Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson are probably gonna be the two. Stevenson is the pass catching.
Yeah, there's little to no competition there. So if you have Henry, hold him. If you are able to buy him, I don't know if I'd buy high, but I would definitely be buying mid or low if somebody was throwing him around.
Yeah. I think if I'm not getting one of the top four or five tight ends, he's definitely a guy that I would target. So
yeah, but Henry probably in my top seven. I'm not comfortable putting him in the top five for me as far as fantasy guys in the current position. Definitely gonna be top seven for me.
Yeah. I think I'd have him top 10, but he's up there. So, moving on to the Jets here, CJ Uzama, your boy. He finished his tight end 19 last year in PPR, but he got hurt towards the end of the season. My big thing is, I mean, can Zach Wilson support Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and now CJ Uzomah.
I don't know, dude. Like you said, he's my guy. He's my dude. He was my darling from last year. He's the only football player I follow on Twitter. Like, I kind of man-crushed the hell out of this dude last year, and I got no shame in my game telling you that. But when he went to the Jets, I was fucking sad. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little fucking sad. I was super happy with him with Cincy. But, look, he did it in Cincy, right? We know what Cincy's offense is. They are – I mean, let's just be straight. They are two incredible wide receivers. I know everybody downplays the other, but two incredible wide receivers. They had a good running back, good shit O-line, excuse me, and a good quarterback, right? And the quarterback still supported all of those cast members. Do I think that Zach Wilson – is Cincinnati? No, hell no. Do I think he can all of that? No, right? Zach Wilson is not Joe Burrow, right? And let's not even get those wires remotely crossed. Do I think Zach Wilson will rely on Uzomah? Yes, I do. Do I think that he is going to be this incredible, amazing, everybody should draft him type of guy? Nah. But if he lands in your lap, you're definitely taking him. If you need a good, consistent tight end, go out and get the man. But nah, I mean, at this point, I would take Knox over Uzomah all day long, right? I would take any of the other tight ends we've talked about so far over Uzomah, excuse me.
Yeah, I was trying to look up the targets that tight end received last year. It's hard because I wanted to see how many times Zach Wilson threw the tight ends, but he was hurt for a lot of the year last year. So highest tight end getter last year was Ryan Griffin at 42. So I don't know if tight end is going to be targeted a whole lot in this offense. So I'm probably
saying yeah, but on the flip side of that, maybe they brought in Uzomah to correct that, right? So maybe they recognized that deficiency and brought in CJ to try to fix that, right? I don't know. I still think that, like you've very, very intelligently pointed out, it is a very crowded offense, extremely crowded. And it's not that it's just crowded with a bunch of crap people either. It's crowded with very talented players. So I don't know. I've talked about the Jets offseason. I think they had one of the greatest offseasons ever, possibly. I mean, they did a really good job in the free agency market. They did a really good job on their draft. I'm excited to see the Jets here, and I haven't seen that since I've been a fan of football.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go and move on here. AFC North. Mark Andrews, the best tight end in the league here. Something that actually surprised me a lot here. First off, he finishes tight end one. They lost Marquise Brown, so he's going to see a ton of targets because the only other valuable target there is Rashad Bateman. But I'm looking at the running back dynasty or tight end dynasty ADP. Mark Andrews is going at the 18th overall in the dynasty startup. Kyle Pitts is going at 8th overall. Is there really that big of a difference in talent-wise and upside from Kyle Pitts to Mark Andrews?
So I have been a long-time believer that Mark Andrews is a product of the team he plays on, right? If you take Mark Andrews and give him to, I don't know, the most tight end, unfriendly team I can think of, friggin' the Browns, I don't think you have this player. I don't think we were talking about Mark Andrews if he's on the Dolphins or on the Saints even, or I mean, for Christ's sake, switch him out, put him in Atlanta. I still don't think you're talking about Mark Andrews, right? Mm-hmm. His talent for me is not exceptional. I think again that he is a product, like we said a lot of years about the players up in the Patriots area, is a product of the system he plays in. their offense during the regular season absolutely runs and guns, and they are slinging that ball every daggum where. And he ends up being the recipient of that. So do I think he is a great player? Yes. Do I think that if you have him, you hold him, and if you have a chance to get him, you go get him? Absolutely. Because, again, they're going to score points, and it has to go to somebody, and it seems like all the confidence, especially now, is going to be going to Mark Andrews. So there's my two cents on that.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, it's ridiculous. Look at the numbers. Look at those targets.
Oh, and they're only going to go up because they lost Marquise Brown.
He has literally double the amount than any other player we've talked about so far on this list. I mean, those are wide receiver numbers, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, it's very realistic to see him at 180-plus targets, I think, this year.
Yeah, it's and then you have to think about that, because he's what? He's in his late 20s, early 30s now?
No, I think Mark Andrews is younger. I think he's only like 26.
26, 27? That's late 20s.
It's mid-20s. 26 years old. So...
And how many years? He's been, what, 4 years now in the league?
This is his fifth year, going into fifth year.
Okay, so he's going into his fifth year. He's taking all of these targets. Every single one of those targets is a hit, right?
Yeah.
Man, it's got to catch up to him.
It does, but you see,
he's a big body.
You see Kelsey playing, he's 32. You see Gage playing to 32.
I don't think Kelsey's going to have the same year because he's always had Hill to take the pressure off of him.
But at the same time, he's got Hill gone, and who else is going to receive these targets?
Oh, I get it. They're going to get the targets. They're going to get the load. But what I'm saying is don't be surprised when this dude blows a knee midseason because he's gotten 106 targets in six games, and he's absolutely getting pummeled.
Yeah. I don't know.
The rookie, he could be Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts this year is going to get absolutely smashed because he's the only target that they have to throw to. Mm-hmm. If you're a Kyle Pitts owner, I'm going to say it right now, be worried because he is going to get absolutely pummeled. And if he doesn't get injured, he's going to have one of the greatest tight end seasons in existence because he's the only person who can catch a ball.
But aren't tight ends built to withstand some of that beating with their bodies?
They used to be when they were pass blockers. They're not anymore. They're just overweight wide receivers now.
All right. Let's go and move on. Hayden Hurst with the Bengals.
Did I pay attention to free agency?
Hey, I don't know. Hayden Hurst signed with the Bengals this year. So, what?
Patriots?
What?
Wasn't Hurst with the Patriots?
No, he was with Atlanta. Jeez. Come on, guy.
What?
Come on, guy. He was with Atlanta there. Back up to your Kyle Pitts, who you say is going to get slaughtered this year. So,
wait, where did Hayden Hurst start? Who drafted him?
Baltimore.
He was used to part with Andrews. Did he not go to the Patriots for a period?
No, Hunter Henry went to the Patriots.
Jeez. I thought Henry and Hurst went. There was like a
no. Johnny Smith.
Who?
Jonnu Smith went to the Patriots.
Oh, that's Jesus. Right.
All right, Hayden Hurst here finished his tight end 38 last year.
And just need you to hang in there with me, buddy. A little whiskey.
Like I said with Uzama, he finished tight end 19.
Jesus, look at the number difference here.
Yes, I agree. I mean, he's going to see more because, like he said, like I saw with Uzama, he saw 63 targets, so we'll just pencil him in for 63 targets.
Like this. I like Hayden Hurst to defense. I like it a lot, like a freaking lot. Like he is – I think talent-wise, he's better than Azuma anyways.
Yeah.
I think they actually upgraded with not signing Azuma here and getting Hayden Hurst. I love everything about this. And unfortunately, he's going up against a freaking juggernaut in Andrews because he's just going to mean the dude's going to have more targets than CeeDee Lamb. I like Hayden Hurst in this situation, but if we're comparing the two of these, there's just no comparison. Andrews is going to blow everybody out of the water this year.
I agree. I think Hayden Hurst has the ability to probably score more touchdowns than CJ Uzama. Yep. So I'd probably pencil him in about six, seven touchdowns.
Put him in that nine range. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just – it's hard because Burrow's going to have to throw 40-plus touchdowns, I think, in that situation. And, I mean, he might. I mean, it's Joe Burrow. But I think T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are going to get theirs. Tyler Boyd's going to get his. Mixon's going to get his. So
I think Ja'Marr Chase has a down year this year. I think T. Higgins is tired of getting crapped on.
Yeah, I hope. I just bought T. Higgins in one of my leagues. So.
Yeah.
Actually, in my league, so.
Higgins was tired of getting pooped on because of Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's going to have a really good season this year.
Hopefully. So, I don't know. Is there enough to go around to support Hirsch with all those guys?
Yes, yes. Joe Burrow's done it. He'll do it again. He'll continue to do it. If you put someone in the end zone and they're open, Burrow will find them. 100% guaranteed every time.
All right. Let's go and move on then. Your before mentioned Cleveland Brown, no tight end, is good offense. David Njoku here. Finished his tight end 23 last year, received 53 targets, so decent amount of targets, but he was the backup tight end. They no longer have Austin Hooper, so is he going to be the number one now, or is Harrison Bryant, who was also a rookie last year, going to step up?
So, Njoku will be your number one out of the gate. He's been there long enough. He's hung around long enough. He's proven it. The fact that he is a talent that we really haven't fully seen yet is going to be enough to make the Browns make him the number one guy. He will be number one. Bryant will be number two. I don't have a ton of faith in Njoku. I really, really don't. In fact, I forgot that he was even on the Browns team for a while because he just like disappeared and stopped existing for a period of time. Yeah. So I don't have a lot of faith in Njoku, especially with Deshaun Watson being up in the air. I just don't. That, and if you look at the history with Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson's never really had tight end talent, so he's not used to throwing to his tight ends. I just don't. I don't think so. I mean, Houston never had an outstanding tight end player with Deshaun Watson there where you were just like, holy crap, I have to have this guy. So I don't think that changes for Njoku.
Yeah, I think it, with Watson going there, it kind of hurts the tight ends. Last year with Mayfield, tight ends were 2-4 in target getters. I don't see that happening, especially since they brought over Amari Cooper. I think he's going to be a big target hog. Plus, they have Jacoby Brissett for 11 games. So,
yeah,
I'm not confident in David Njoku at all.
Not at all. And even if Watson hadn't got suspended, which thank Christ he did, but even if he didn't, you know it, right? Watson will check down to a wide receiver, and if he can't check down to a wide receiver, he's running. Right, he's not going to go through his progression all the way through to the freaking tight end. It just never happened, and it's not going to.
I agree. Pat Freiermuth with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he had a very good season last year in his rookie year. The guy scored 7 touchdowns in his rookie year to finish his tight end 13. Do you think he continues, or does the addition of George Pickens hurt him and also – going for Big Ben, either Trubisky or Pickett?
I think he has a great season. I think Pickett will end up being your starter, and I think, like we've talked about and I've said time and time and time again, that there's nothing more comforting for a rookie quarterback than a good tight end. Fairmouth will be that player. Do I think he gets to any better of a season than last year? I don't know. Do I think he can replicate last year? 100%. Do I think George Pickens' addition hurts him? A little bit, but I think he's going to be able to capitalize on his targets a bit better. Instead of, you know, that 79 and 60 dropping those 19, I think maybe we see 70 and 65, maybe a little bit of an uptick there and maybe a few more touchdowns. I don't think it's unrealistic to see that man in the 9 TD range again. And I think you're going to add probably, I'd say, if I had to give you a guess right now, call it. I'm saying he's going to have 70 receptions, north of 600 yards, and I'm going to call 9 TDs right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's gonna be big. I actually just down tiered Travis Kelce with Pat Freiermuth. I got Pat Freiermuth in the first, so I think that we forget Freiermuth. I think that stat came out last year that he didn't drop a red zone target in his entire college career.
That's great.
Yeah, he's extremely talented. I have all the faith in the world in him. So we're going to move on here. AFC South Texans, Brevin Jordan, rookie last year. Only saw 28 targets, but, again, he was a rookie. Texans are probably going to suck again, but it's pretty much right now Brevin Jordan and Brandon Cooks. How do you feel about it? He finished tight end 44. Can they trust him a little bit more this year?
I'll be honest. I don't know much about either of these two teams as far as their tight ends situation. Obviously, I know Mo Alie-Cox just because he's been around, but
yeah.
I don't know anything about Brevin Jordan. What I can tell you is what you've already stated. The Texans are rebuilding. I mean, they are looking for a top three pick. They're trying to get things done here. I don't expect much offensively out of them. If you're in a late round and you're looking for somebody, go ahead, because he's going to be a starter. But that's about what I can say about the position he's in. He's going to be a starter. That's about what I got for you.
Yeah, I think Brevin Jordan is more of a taxi squad, let's see what he can do type player. I'm not going to put him draft him as my starting tight end or anything. So, yeah,
for example, in my dynasty league, we have 45-man rosters. We have huge rosters. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in my 45-man roster and I have, you know, three or four tight end spots that I need to fill in, I'll take them. But I'm not, you know, if I only have two tight end slots, yeah, I'm going to let him hit the waiver wire and maybe pick him up after a good game or two.
Yeah, I agree. Mo Alie-Cox here. Matt Ryan, he had some decent tight ends in his career in Atlanta. Never was really the focal point. His main go-to is his wide receivers. So, and then probably the second one is the running backs. So, I'm not really high on Mo Alie-Cox, but
yeah.
The best tight ends in the league right now are your athletic tight ends. Just your athletic freaks. Jelani Woods was an athletic freak in the combine. So, you know, if I'm gonna take a chance on somebody, I think I would take a chance on Jelani Woods, kind of again storing him, just because he's a freak athlete. But he's gonna have to pass Mo Alie-Cox and Kylan Granson on the depth chart before he is anything.
So this is kind of back to the same thing with Mr. Jordan there, right? If I'm sitting there and I got four slots that I need to fill, I might take Jelani Woods. I'm not going to take the chance on Mo Alie-Cox. He's had his chance. He's not been able to prove. And like you said, he's come to QB last year. That sucks. I can't really like take these numbers to heart because he was stuck with Carson last year. But in the future, he's looking at a quarterback who does not target his tight ends. He just doesn't. He's played with a couple of good ones, but they have been like all-time greats, and Mo Alie-Cox can't even compare to those folks. So if I'm taking any tight end in a Colts jersey, I'm going to take Jelani. I'm going to put him down into my roster and hope for the best. But again, if I only have two or three slots, then yeah, no, I'm going to let them hang out on the waiver wire, and maybe after a couple of good games or something goes up or Cox gets injured or something like that, then I'll go find somebody. But any tight end in the Colts jersey is going to have to sit on the bench and wait for a bit.
I agree. These guys are not somebody that I'm targeting. So going to move on here. Jacksonville, Evan Engram. Now, we know what Evan Engram is, but we've seen him be great. I mean, he had, the second best rookie season for a tight end ever. Just broke it. But we've seen him be great. I think he's an extreme sleeper tight end right now. finished his tight end 24 last year, but this is probably going to be his best quarterback he's had since Eli Manning with Trevor Lawrence there. You got Doug Peterson. He's worked with Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert. I mean, he's brought up and helped the best tight ends in the league be the best tight ends in the league. How do you feel about Ingram?
I like him a lot. I like his upside a lot. My only issue is that you're going to see a ton of Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. You're going to see a metric ass ton of it because their teammates, they're comfortable with each other. He's going to go to Etienne all day, every day. So I just don't know that he's going to get a lot of love. But that being said, if there is a player who I would be taking in a late draft, or if I was able to get on the cheap, man, scoop him up in a heartbeat because he is going to have a good season. I think he's going to establish himself as the number one and that he is going to demand, and I do mean demand, the attention of Trevor Lawrence.
I agree. I've been trying to trade for him forever also. I mean, all offseason I've been trying to trade for him. So I think Ingram, there's nothing really at wide receiver. I don't care if you say, they just traded for or just signed. Drawing a blank on the freaking name right now. Christian Kirk. God, I could not think of the name. They just traded for Christian Kirk, but let's be honest, Christian Kirk was nothing in Arizona. He's the best in Jacksonville. They got Zay Jones. They got Marvin Jones. Other than those three guys, there's not a known wide receiver on this team.
Dude, I started
Evan Ingram be number one.
I started submitting trade offers as soon as Ingram signed, and then I started really submitting trade offers when they got rid of LaVishka. Like, dude, he's it. As far as pass catching, deep threat, or anything in the red zone, he's it. Him and Etienne, that's that.
I agree. I'm big on Evan Ingram right now, man. I think I'm going back to him one more year, see what Peterson can do.
I think out of everybody on the list, not named Mark Andrews or Kyle Pitts, because I know he's coming up, but any of those players not named those two people, he's got probably the most upside this season. He's got incredible upside.
I agree. Austin Hooper finished his tight end 25. He was hurt a couple games last year, but he goes to the Tennessee Titans, who have had decent tight ends, never anything like majorly good or anything, but decent. You got Robert Woods and just picked up Treylon Burks in the draft.
I don't like it.
Is there a chance he can be the number two target on this team?
I don't like it at all. I Titans and the Browns are in the same category for me. It's where Titans go to die. I don't like it at all. I feel bad for Hooper. I feel like he had a lot of potential and had showcased that a little bit and never really got the full chance to show what he could be. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where I'm not going to be targeting him at all anyway. I wasn't big on him whenever he was with Cleveland. I've never really been big on the talent of Austin Hooper. He's just kind of a guy for me. So like, as my backup or third tight end, maybe, but
yeah, I would take Jalen Woods and the possibility of something, Jelani Woods and the possibility of something happen over Hooper if they ended up in the same round.
I agree. I think I'd take a chance on one of the younger guys that we don't know a whole lot about, with chance of them being stars than Austin Hooper. So moving on to the great AFC West here, starting with Albert O. Again, looking at the very athletic tight ends in the NFL, he's one of the most athletic tight ends in the NFL, at least for what he did at the combine. excuse me, finished his tight end 31 last year. He's got a chance at being good. I mean, Russell Wilson – he's going to be able to support, I think, Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and Albert O. What do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think that the – this is kind of like the Deshaun Watson effect. Wilson has never been big on targeting his tight ends.
No.
But then again, he's always been in an offense that's been Tyler Lockett heavy. So, yeah. But you've got a lot, right? A lot of people, including myself, talk a lot of smack about the Broncos because they're just in disarray. But they have never been lacking in offensive talent. They've just been lacking at the one position to get the ball to them.
Yeah.
So they got a lot. They got a lot in Denver. And trying to support all that, can Russell do it? Absolutely. But I think the question then becomes is should it. And I don't think he's going to, right? You've got Javonte Williams, you've got Jerry Jeudy, you've got Courtland Sutton, you got, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on, for Christ's sakes. I think that any of the offensive line is going to get more targets than Albert O. Yeah, I don't like his positioning. I think he's going to have a respectable but not a let's talk about it kind of season.
I think he's probably going to have, I would say, I think he could hit 70 targets.
So I think he's going to have a Julius Thomas type season, right? That year that they set the touchdown records, Manning set the touchdown record with like 60 touchdowns. I don't think that Wilson's going to match that, but I think that he is going to – same type of year that Julius Thomas did, because that was the year that they had DT, they had JT, they had Noshon, they had Emmanuel Sanders, right?
Yeah.
They had incredible offense, and Manning was able to get the ball around to everybody, right? Not to the same degree as everybody else, but you still had a really good year out of Julius Thomas, and I'm pretty sure that was his good season. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was a really good year. Yeah. I think you're going to see the same thing at Alberto. He is going to have a very respectable tight end season. I mean, he'll probably crack the top 10, but I don't think it's going to be a sustainable thing. I don't think it's going to be repeatable. And quite honestly, I don't know what his contract is, but if he has a top 10 season, he's probably either going to get traded or get picked up somewhere else.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because they did draft Greg Dulcich in the third round of the NFL draft this year. So they spent the draft capital on him. But like I said, Albert O is extremely athletic, and he's very tall. I think he's like 6'6", 6'7". So going to be big in the red zone.
That's a big boy right there.
Yeah, I think. Let me check that before I – he's 6'5". So – he's still a big guy. I'm big on Albert O this year, and maybe it's just because I'm a Bronco fan, but I think he's in for a breakout year. Moving on here, Travis Kelce, he's been the GOAT tight end for like 5 years now. I mean, is there really anything to say about him other than are you worried about his age right now?
So, I said it earlier, and I'm going to stand by what I said. I think that Kelce is going to have a good season until he gets hurt. I think this is a year that his age catches up to him, his targets catches up to him, and I think you're going to see a hopefully minorly injured kind of type season for Kelce. He's probably going to miss four to five games. So, his targets have been wide receiver targets his entire career. I mean, let's just be honest, 134 for anything over 1,000 is ridiculous for a tight end.
Yeah.
So I think you put him and Kyle Pitts in that same range where they're going to be between like 120 and 150, maybe even 160, 180 on their targets because there's no one else on the team. It's a little different than Pitts' situation. They do have some talent at wide receiver down in KC, so hopefully I'm wrong, but I think a lot of that's going to fall on Kelce, and he's just not going to be able to keep up with that workload. Opposite Mr. Pitts. Mr. Pitts is still young, and Kelce ain't. So
Yeah. He's 32 years old, and we've gone over this in previous shows. That's the kind of fall off end of the career age for a tight end. So, like I said, I down-tiered him because I didn't want him to die on my team. Didn't want his career to be over while he was on my team. I got Freiermuth and Day first. So, that's my approach with him, but he's still the best tight end in the league. So,
yeah, you did great. Anybody else who's listening to the show right now and watching the show, mimic what Cook did there, because that's great, great move. Sell the man now, because it's only going to get here.
Yeah, I love the guy. He's one of the best tight ends ever, in my opinion, but he's just getting too old. Age is going to creep up on him. So, moving right along, this will probably be the last two that we talk about because we're already almost an hour in and we still have NFC West or NFC to talk about. So, we'll finish that up on the next show. But Darren Waller going. He's back for the Raiders. He was hurt a lot last year, but he's back being healthy. Hopefully, he has been kind of sitting out a lot of training camp. I'm almost wondering if they're just trying to rest him. I mean, Darren Waller really doesn't need to be playing a whole lot in the preseason. Keep his body good for the season. But he finished his tight end 17 last year, 93 targets. Only two touchdowns, so that needs to come up. But might we see a better season from him with Adams coming along? Because now they have Hunter Renfrow, but Hunter Renfrow is not going to command the same amount of coverage as Devonta Adams is going to command. So can we see a bigger year for him?
So, yes, I think you will see a much bigger year. Darren Waller, right? Of all the people we've talked about so far, Darren Waller has had the hardest road to where he's at now. He has some straight life shit, right? Like things that we don't think about, things that you don't hear about in an NFL combine or a scouting report. You don't hear about the life that Waller had to get to where he is. The dude's a freaking fighter, man. The dude's a fucking warrior, right? So if there's anybody that I have faith and an ability to get out and get a season done, it's that man, right? If he was sidelined, if there was an injury, it had to be something big. Because this dude ain't calling a game because he's got a freaking hangnail. So if he's going out there and he's playing, he's gutting it out, man, I'm a root for this dude all day long. And I think he's going to have a better season because Adams is there, and it's going to take a lot of that pressure off of him. Because let's be honest, if it was Waller or Renfrow, I am double-teaming Waller all day long, which is probably why we're even talking about Hunter Renfrow, is because Waller was being double-teamed. He tore apart my Saints, and I don't even want to talk about it because he tore up my Saints. But yeah. I think Waller has a much better season this year because he is not, and I say this out loud, he is not the number one guy anymore, right? That pressure's off of him. He can take kind of a Travis Kelce-esque role in the fact that Tyreek Hill was always the number one guy, right? Opened up the top, blew everybody apart, made them double-team him every play. That's going to be Devonta Adams. And let's not mince words. Devonta Adams is still going to get his, even if you freaking triple team the dude. The guy's a freak. But it's going to take all that pressure off of Waller, especially in the red zone. That's the difference here, right? Tyreek Hill, burn everybody, take it to the house. Devonta Adams is not going to burn everybody and take them to the house. He's going to run his routes perfectly like he always has, and he's going to get that ball down the field and then score touchdowns. Waller is going to have so many opportunities because they will be in the red zone more than they've ever been in the years past. I like Waller this year. I like him a lot.
I agree. I think Waller and Adams and Carr are about to explode. Add Jacobs to the mix. I know that Jacobs has been kind of a...
There's so much hate for Jacobs this year, but I agree with you.
I mean, this Raiders team, this whole AFC West is going to be great, but this Raiders team is going to be extremely good, I think. I'm in on all these players for the Raiders. I think that other than Hunter Renfrow, I think I'm actually a little bit down on Renfrow. But everybody else, I mean, go out and target as much as you can because they're going to be very good.
Wes, pick a team in there and tell me which one of those teams is bad. You can't.
You can't. You could potentially see four playoff teams out of this division.
That's nuts to think about, but yeah. You really could. I can't poke a hole at any of them. I can't shake a stick at any of these teams. They're freaking incredible.
I agree. And it's not just offense, it's defense. So
I know. It's nuts.
Yep. We'll go and end with the Chargers, Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett finished as a tight end 22. He wasn't really all that great in L.A., wasn't all that great in Seattle, but this is probably the best quarterback he's being thrown to. And we all know Hunter Henry was with L.A.,
is better.
Antonio Gates. L.A. is a good landing spot for tight ends. What do you think?
Did you just say Herbert is greater than Wilson?
Justin Herbert is better than Russell Wilson. I'll say that, yeah.
What?
I'll say that.
Man.
I'll say that. And this is coming from a Broncos, diehard Broncos fan right now. I'll say Justin Herbert is better than Russell Wilson.
Oh, boy. Somebody better call Ciara. She's going to be showing up at your house beating that ass here in a minute.
I'll say it.
Oh, man. Justin Herbert, greater than Russell Wilson. I can't believe that even came out your mouth right. That's nuts. That is nuts. So, this is what I'm going to tell you, all right? Justin Herbert is great. Is he better than Russell Wilson? Not even on a Sunday is he better than Russell.
All right.
But for Gerald Everett, I love it. It's a great landing spot for him. Do I think that he is going to have an incredible season? No. Do I think he's the most talented tight end since Antonio Gates to land with the Chargers? Yes. So I think he's going to have a very, very good season. Is he going to be amazing? No. But is he somebody you should target? 100%.
Okay. Give me this one then. All right. You have.
They're there.
Gerald Everett was with Seattle 1 year last year. Okay. Justin Herbert is better than Russell Wilson last year. All right.
Yeah, but again, product of the team, right?
I agree.
Had no faith in Wilson.
I agree. That's my big thing is he's going to be better than Russell Wilson last year. So
end of this season.
Yeah.
And tell me if you still think that Wilson is not as good as Herbert.
I hear you. Let's go and wrap it up here. We're at an hour or so. We will finish up next week with the NFC tight ends. Make sure you keep tuning in to the other podcast. They're doing a great job. And, I mean, this is awesome. I love doing this. Greg, good to have you back, Nick. This is good. Hopefully we can get Charlie back on. We can finally be the trio again. So,
yep, I love it, man. I miss the hell out of it. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, for sure. So, hope everybody has a good week, and we will talk to you guys later.
Be good, everybody.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of clock hands. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act interacting. Shh, like boom, running like Zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. Listen up, Jack, I'ma head back. Back to the blowing that, blowing that, blowing that, go.